the very controversial host of Piper's Pit, Rowdy Roddy Piper. Yeah. Mr. Piper, I would stick around, but you're going to have to excuse me. I have to go to the men's room. I'll be right back. Thank you.
Oh, going home? Oh, my goodness, that's fine. Cow Palace. You can go to the men's room in the Cow Palace. That's a wonderful name in San Francisco because the Cow Palace is someplace that I would be proud to call my home. Cow Palace is someplace that I'd be proud to bring my gal. Because obviously, if you live in San Francisco and you are going out with gals, obviously they belong in the Cow Palace. I saw one, the only thing she was missing was antlers. She would have been in season, Jack, man. I saw her coming up to me, asking me for a date. I says, man, I'm Hot Rod, are you kidding me? He said, yeah, but aren't you the one that's gonna fight Mr. Wonderful? I says, yeah, I'm gonna fight Mr. Blunderful. He says, but aren't you the one that's gonna fight him with all them wrestlers around the ring? He says, yeah, that's me. He says, don't you know what he's thinking? Of course. Yeah, yeah, I know what he's thinking. Absolutely nothing, man. When he's in a room alone, he is all alone. You see, you forget, I rode with him. I know what an idiot this guy is. I know his moves. Oh, yes, he's tough. I know he's tough. You think I ain't, man? I've been around. You know that. I've been there before. He's tough enough to go and bench press 500 pounds. Who really cares, man, huh? Your idea here of a wrestling match here, you got 12 wrestlers around the ring. You got dancing midgets and leathers. You got everything that you've ever wanted in a match. You know why I signed this? Incidentally, it didn't take me 2 months to sign this match. No, 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 no. It didn't take me 2 months to make up my mind, brother. No, no, no. I said, you want me to fight somebody? I'll fight anybody. Who do you want?
That was just pure perfection by the one and only Roddy Piper. I'd like to say this show, this podcast right now, is dedicated to the memory of the great Hot Rod, Roddy Piper.
From the Red Hook section of Brooklyn, New York,
the former three-time world heavyweight champion.
Lee, if you can survive, if I let you.
Yes. He is the human suplex machine.
Now Taz is dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome.
Hey, this is the Fantasy Craft Edition. Man. Love this reaction show
for the celebrity edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
All right, welcome to the Human Podcast Machine. It is me, Taz. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this hot summer day, this hot summer morning, afternoon, evening, whenever the hell you're watching. I'm not watching. Listen to this. As you know, this is a kind of a double banger, double whammy show where we have the professor, Mike Tenay, is on the hook. Mike, hello. How you doing, buddy?
Taz, great to be with you once again. Really looking forward to this this human podcast machine for so many reasons. And, wow, quite an eventful past couple of days,
yes,
to say the least, huh?
Yes, sir. And we're going to get into, and just for those that are, we will get into the fantasy draft. We'll bring Seth in later on. We'll do our fantasy draft on best music entrance for wrestlers. We're going to do that in this show right here. Also, Mike is going to make his announcement. We're going to, you know, see what Mike's got on you, Mike Tenay, have on your plate for your future. But before we get into that, on a serious tip, Mike, as you know, we lost a great one in the Hot Rod, Roddy Piper. I know you know Roddy very well. Thoughts, opinions on the Hot Rod. Anything you want to say?
Well, Taz, stunned, shocked, obviously saddened by the news. One of the greatest personalities in the history of our profession. I think Ric Flair called him the greatest entertainer that he had ever seen in professional wrestling. I, you know, I was fortunate enough to see Roddy Piper really, really early in his career. First push that he got was in the Los Angeles territory, and the conversations that I would have with him, he was always so respectful to a man named Leo Garibaldi. There was a famous tag team in the early days of tag team wrestling, the Garibaldi brothers, and Leo Garibaldi was the booker in Los Angeles in Southern California when Roddy Piper got his start, and he was the guy who really put that first rocket under Roddy Piper. Really, his career took off. On a personal note, I guess the thoughts that I had over the course of the past couple of days, I was also fortunate to get to know him from working with him from the years in WCW, the time that he spent in TNA as well. But going quickly, going back to WCW era, Roddy Piper would fly to the Nitro events or the pay-per-views, usually from his home base in Portland, Oregon.
Right.
And being based in Las Vegas myself, so often Piper was not able to get a direct flight from Portland to the city, and he would have to connect through Vegas, and either I'd walk on the plane, and there's Piper, and we'd be seatmates, you know, in first class. Yeah. Or it was just one of those fortunate things. So, and as you know, when you have that chance to spend that 4 or 5 hours of those coast-to-coast flights with somebody, you get to know him pretty well.
Oh, yeah, very.
And I think it was because I knew so much about his early career that it sort of broke down those initial barriers that you have where he then brings you in. And I guess the one thing I really remember looking back on it was he was set to face Hulk Hogan at the Super Brawl in San Francisco. And I remember we were on the airplane, and I was sitting there and just talking to him about how he was going to build to this match with Hogan. And I told him that I had vacationed many times in San Francisco. And the one thing that I always loved about going to San Francisco was the tour of Alcatraz, believe it or not.
It's funny you mentioned San Francisco, because I don't know if you it's coincidental, because the cold open of this show, we dropped a promo, an old promo from WWF.
The Orndorff promo from the Cow Palace.
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
Well, this was at the Cow Palace also. This was a match against Hogan. And I told him about this, the Alcatraz, and how intriguing this was. And I'd been there several times. And I just brought up to him, I said, how great would it be if you were able to do your promos from Alcatraz about Hogan at the Cow Palace? And all of a sudden, the head cocks, and he turns, the light bulb goes off above him. And at that point, I knew, you know, Piper just bought in.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, in that era, he had a little bit of an entourage. He had a guy that would always be with him on the road. And he brought Craig Malley was his name. He brought him from coach up to first class.
Wow.
And Craig Malley had his little notebook, you know, one of those little notebooks that he put in his back pocket,
yeah,
a little spiral. Had him flip through and said, write down everything that he's going to say about this.
Write his promo.
So, and again, Piper, of course, had the power at that point and the clout to make that thing happen.
Right,
but from that point forward, I think that extra bond that we had, it really was special. And Dan, we're going to miss him. Had a chance to meet his family on several occasions in Vegas at the Cauliflower Alley events. And, wow.
He'll be missed. Yeah,
he really will.
Great. I got to know him a little bit during our time together in WWE. This is after his, you know, big successful run and when I was an announcer there. And just always just funny. I mean, hey, Hot Rod, how you doing? And Taz, he just started cutting a promo on me, like what he would have done to me, when I was a wrestler, and he was, you know, and then it was just funny, like
naturally entertaining,
unbelievable, just start cutting a promo. I'm like, God. You know, and I'm like, Hot Rod, you're going to take my job with that announce desk. Nah, brother, he didn't want nothing to do with the announce desk. He's like, no. It's like, he was funny, man. Just mad respect for all the success and all he's done for the business, in the business, all his fans. So thank you, Mike, for giving your memories of Hot Rod. That I think fans will really love hearing that. Now, I think fans also want to hear, shifting gears here, you know, this announcement. So, well, I kind of know what it is because I'm in the loop. I'm dialed in, and, I want you to lay it on the world, bro. Let's go.
Well, Taz, this is great, and I really appreciate this opportunity. And I guess at this point I just want to say, Seth, old buddy, I'm ready.
Seth, turn your mic on.
Seth, I'm ready.
I'm ready too, Mike. Let's do this.
Good luck, Mike.
Well, Seth, when I say I'm ready, I mean, you know, I'm ready for like a drum roll.
Oh, he's ready for a
maybe a little. I don't know what you're laughing about, Seth. I'm thinking maybe like a little blaring of trumpets, you know, about setting the mood. For God's sake, Seth, Taz and I have been building the son of a gun up for a week.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
The Twitter world's a buzz.
You would think a professional would be prepared
No, but we need a professional. We got to find a professional producer.
Yeah, unfortunately, you guys got me.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a shoot.
All I can say is, Seth, your lack of creativity, again, it's predictable, but it's alarming nonetheless, and it's I think you should be very concerned, Taz.
Listen, Mike, it's not just his lack of, would you say, predictability?
No, his lack of creativity.
Oh, creativity and also ability. He doesn't have that either.
I mean, it's 2015. What do you have to do? Hit one button, you get a drum roll. No, you get a little blaring of trumpets, nothing. But anyway,
yeah. Guys, hit us with news. I'm begging you.
Guys, I am thrilled to announce that I am now officially part of the CBS radio family.
Hey!
Fantastic. And I know, Taz, you've got the big compound out there on Long Island. What do you got, about 5,500, 6,000 square feet?
I got a moat.
I just want to make sure now, in the guest room, since I'm part of the family now, in the guest room, you've got the really good satellite TV with the NFL ticket and all that, right?
80-incher, brother. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, tell the hired help, get the guest room ready, because I'm now officially part of the CBS radio family.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Do you want to explain what it is, or do you want us to play your open? How do you want to do this?
I tell you what. Let me just say, starting this week, I'm going to be hosting my own podcast right here, associated with CBS Radio, play.it. Hey, can you play the open at this point?
All right, so folks, just so you know, this open basically will explain what Mike's show is. So go ahead, hit it, Seth.
Are you ready for the most unique, arguably the most insightful, and soon to be the most addictive sports podcast today?
Welcome to Professor Vegas with Mike Today.
Whether it's wagering on the games, office pools, or fantasy sports, this podcast is for you. I will take you behind the scenes of the exciting and fascinating world of sports betting direct from Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is Professor Vegas.
Yeah, buddy. We'll fade that right there. Professor Vegas, baby. I love it.
Yeah, can't wait, guys. Not only going to be covering all the major sports stories, and when I say cover them, I'm talking about from a betting perspective, but I'm also going to have interviews each and every week with the movers and the shakers in that world. I'm talking about the bookies, the bookmakers, the line makers, the guys that make the point spreads, and we'll find out. We'll go behind the scenes. We'll find out how they come up with those point spreads each and every week. We'll talk to professional bettors, handicappers, and as I said, whatever level that you are interested in sports, I think this podcast is going to be for you. If you bet on the games, if you're involved in office pools, fantasy sports, and the like, get on board with this Professor Vegas podcast. I don't think a lot of wrestling fans maybe are that familiar, Taz, with my background in Las Vegas.
No, wait, but a lot of wrestlers are.
That's true. A lot of wrestlers, a lot of front office people through the years taken care of as far as bets go. Over a decade as a bookie in Las Vegas at the Gold Coast Race and Sportsbook. I've been a sports bettor my entire life. Knew how to read a racing form at 10 years old. Taz, you know the passion that I have for this.
Yeah, buddy, I do. I mean, I've spent many a day show prepping that during our time together in TNA and seeing wrestlers to front office folks to sitting there getting views and thoughts from like fantasy sports, fantasy football, and just getting during the NFL season, guys that want to maybe take a little action, as they call it, on a game, you really are definitely an expert, no doubt about it. And I think people, just from talking about the creative of how the show's going to go, the Professor Vegas show, I think that it's a deal where even like a casual bettor, a guy that's not big into spending tons of money on betting, might learn something from your show, correct?
Going to be an education process as well. It's not simply going to be just bet on this team or the other, and we're certainly going to have that. We're going to have opinions from the pros. But at the same time, it's the whys, it's the wherefores. It's when to bet, how to bet. A little bit deeper as far as that goes than other type shows that are just giving an opinion. There's so much to sports betting that goes on that I think the casual person doesn't understand. We're going to bring all that out. As far as getting behind the scenes of a sports story, we'll talk about the impact of a story like the Deflategate, the impact of the suspensions of the four Ohio State football players last week, and how that impacts the betting line. I know, Taz, you've got to be back on the bandwagon with the New York Mets after the past couple of weeks, right?
Of course, I'm a Mets fan now. I mean, yeah, the success going on. I was just arguing with Seth with Nitz over here, saying, he's saying the Yankees they are doing better, but I love the Yankees too. But I mean, it's great to be a New York baseball fan right now. But why? What do you got? You got some inside tip on the Mets now?
I was just going to point out. What do you think the New York Mets? If you are back on that bandwagon, 8-1, maybe 10-1, you can find to win the National League pennant. I've seen some places that have 18-1, 20-1 to win the World Series.
That pitching is worth taking a shot.
No doubt about it.
The depth that they have. We saw it over the weekend with Syndergaard. DeGrom is just ridiculous, right? If they get Matt Harvey back and rolling, it's really going to be something.
And you know, I got to say, I think also we're on the cusp here, as we all know, of the NFL season. All the NFL teams are in camp right now. NFL fantasy is huge. So, I mean, I'm sure this is a great time for your show to kick off, getting ready to be on the cusp here of the NFL season.
Really was a natural, and it does coincide with the first NFL preseason game of the year, believe it or not, guys. That first NFL preseason game of the year, it's less than a week away. It's coming up this Sunday. Now, the good news about the podcast, the first Professor Vegas podcast, it's going to drop this Thursday. So my suggestion would be get on board, subscribe to the Professor Vegas podcast, and now you're going to be set for the football season going forward.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to your show. My congratulations on the show, and I thank you for coming on the Human Podcast Machine to announce this. And it's just you're going to be awesome at this. People, if they're not familiar, they can hear your passion in your voice. Those of us that know, and fans that are true fans, Mike Tenay fans, know your history about you at the Gold Coast, and that you still live in Vegas. I believe your wife worked in a casino too, right?
Yes, she actually was in charge of running a lot of sports bars that have all the video poker machines and all that. Has done that pretty much her entire life too.
That's just so nice, the Tenay family. You guys,
it's all in the family, baby.
Just a basic American family drinking and gambling.
Nothing like it. Gambling in Sin City.
Just some winners. Well, speaking of winners, Mike, if I could take this opportunity, if you don't mind, my friend, talk a little bit about DraftKings.
Love to hear about it.
Well, because I know you're big on top of this deal here, and baseball's in full swing, as we just discussed, and you can be part of all the action all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. So daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. Why wait until the end of the season to get paid when you can get huge prizes every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every single time you play. Here's the deal. Just pick two pitchers, pick eight position players, and just pick up your cash. Really, that's it. Just ask this dude, Peter, from Colorado. Last year, bro, he won $1 million in one day. Simply playing fantasy baseball at DraftKings. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. So here's the deal. New contests start daily, so hurry to DraftKings.com right now and use the promo code TAZ, that's Taz, to play for free today. $10,000 in fantasy baseball contests. DraftKings.com, official partner of Major League Baseball. Enter TAZ. Free entry now, DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com. Hey, Seth, that's DraftKings.com. I got thrown off because you're moving your arms around. You're freaking me out. I'm a little confused.
I was excited. I won $30. A-bomb from A-Rod. Three of them. Three home runs.
DraftKings.
I had A-Rod, yes.
Look at this, Mike. $30. Mike, you believe this?
It's the hottest thing going right now, the daily fantasy sports. We'll be touching on that. We'll also be touching on the season-long fantasy sports. It's just amazing the way that's taken off in the past couple of years, and it's certainly something that we're going to be addressing on the Professor Vegas podcast.
Well, that's
his
awesome.
Own code as well.
Oh, Mike Tenay. Well, Mike Tenay will have his own call.
He's going to put you out of business, man.
He's going to put me out of business. Oh, no. Another guy. I'm doing a job to everybody. Unbelievable. First, I got Flair hunting me down. Now, I got Tenay hunting me down. What's going on here? I'm in trouble.
You're in our sights.
Yeah, I know. I was the guinea pig here at, watch the racial slurs. I was the guinea pig here. I'd play it. Now all of a sudden I'm doing a job. Unbelievable. I create this great platform for the world, Mike. And now you guys are all just jobbing me out.
That's all we can do.
I did invent that, actually.
Let's do one.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do a fancy draft. He's right. Tanae, are you prepared to do your best entrance? Who you pick as the best, your top 10 to do this with me and Seth? Because, you know, we got people still pissed about the strongest deal that we did. You know, Vader. Everybody's talking about Vader. We forgot Vader. How do we forget Vader?
Come on. You can't have everybody. I mean, there's always a critic out there. I guess the biggest thing I'm concerned about here when it comes to this fantasy draft is the fact that you allowed one of your Twitter followers to come up with this topic. What was the guy, Nuts and Bolts 98 or something like that, that came up with this suggestion?
Wait.
Now, how many of these have we done so far? Six, seven, eight?
Too many.
I think you're running out of steam. I mean, you got to come up with the ideas. Don't let these people run the show. They're programming the show for you.
Mike, it's interactive. I got to be interactive with my fan base and the listeners of the show.
No, interactive is
you're
one
gonna
thing.
Learn. You'll
let,
learn.
Let them have an opinion every now and then, but now you're having to program the show. It's too much. Nuts and Bolts 98.
Hey, Professor Vegas, are we allowed to take a break? Can we take a break, come right back, and then we'll do the fancy draft?
No.
What do you mean? You're not Professor Vegas. You're Seth. What? You don't want to take a break?
No.
Why can't we take a break?
Yeah, let's go. Let's do the show.
Yeah, you just really pissed me off, but okay, no problem. I'm going to sit down because I'm going to stay calm. All right, so...
What a producer he is, huh?
Yeah.
He's always there for you. No matter what you need, he's there to help.
Well, because he gives me the hand signal that we're going to take a break, and then I do the job. So something happened with the time. I don't know what's going on. Whatever. All right, so we're going to get right into this then. We're going to go right into the top entrance music. You know, and we're going to do our normal order for those that are new here to the Fantasy Draft. Listen to these shows that we do monthly. Usually today, he is the guest. Professor Vegas will go first, then Seth will go, and then yours truly, me, Taz, will go. So, Mike, today, you are on the clock. Boom.
I've got my number 10, and I'll have it in just 1 second. My biggest concern when it comes to Seth and this fantasy draft is that I don't think that Gary Hart really devoted a chapter in his book to ring entrance music, so it might be a little fish out of water here for you, but I know you'll have something, Seth. At number 10, and when I looked at my list, when I wrote down my 15 or 20 entrances that I really liked, I was so amazed that so many of them were the classic entrances, going back even, you know, a few years, a decade, or maybe even longer. But coming in at number 10 for me is going to be a current entrance, and I find that it hooks me each and every week. Now, if I'm watching Monday Night Raw, I'm trying to get through that three-hour show in an hour, hour 15, right?
Right.
Okay. Every time this entrance comes on, I watch the entire entrance and have for the past year plus. Mm. This is for Bray Wyatt, the Wyatt family. I just find the music, it's so ominous, it's so creepy. You've got the lights from the audience coming from the phones. It hooks me each and every time. I want to fast forward through it.
Very good, Mike. You know what? I did not think of Bray Wyatt. I agree with you. He definitely has an awesome, awesome entrance. It's the lighting, it's the music, it's people with the gimmicks, the cell phones over there holding up. What are you doing, Seth? They have cell phones in the air when it's dark out? Yeah, look, Mike, how about this? This is the crack producer. Hey, what do they have? He goes, huh? Yeah, that's what I got.
That's what you got.
What do you want from me?
Intelligence? I don't know. Talent? Ability? That's what I want from you.
I've already proven I don't have any of those.
That ship has sailed.
What's your 10?
Guys, I hate to bring this up, but when Gary Hart's music hit, the place was electric. Electric! Nah, I'm just kidding. My number 10 is Jimmy Garvin, Sharp Dressed Man. Man, when that music hit and his entrance, it was just cool. I liked it. I really liked it a lot. Hey, I'm going to be multitasking. It's going to be on and off mic a little bit, you guys, so bear with me, okay?
Nice. Finally, Seth, you're doing a little multitasking. I like it. Okay.
Hey, just trying to impress Mike Tanae.
I'm old hat, right? Tanae's the new Professor Vegas. I got it.
I got to kiss up to Mike Tanae.
I got it. Professor Vegas, man.
Like
he kissed up to Flair. You know about that story, right, Mike?
Jesus.
Remember
Christ.
We discussed the whole Atlanta thing? You had to go to Atlanta to help Flair, have Flair's producer turn the switch that says on. Then he flew back to New York.
Just let everybody know.
What a
you
mark.
You imagine.
Mark. Yep.
Jimmy Garvin, number 10. Let's go.
Thank you, Jabron. Okay, so I think both of you guys have good picks. I definitely like the Jimmy Garvin, the ZZ Top, sharp-dressed man. No doubt about it. Came out with Precious, right? That was Tomato's name?
It was.
Sunshine. Yeah, Sunshine. Right. I forgot about Sunshine. Good job. All right, here's my number 10, boys and girls. Here we go. I'm going to shock you guys a little bit. I'm going to go a little EC dub. I'm going to go old school, Shane Douglas. Perfect Strangers was a song done by Deep Purple. And great song. Today,
yeah, pretty much done after Smoke on the Water, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but no. Shane, let me tell you. Shane was a gigantic, huge Kiss fan. Huge. Some that don't know that. But he, you know, this song, I don't know if it was Heyman or he picked it. I'm not sure. This song was perfect. Pun intended. Even though he was a Kiss fan, he used the Deep Purple tune. So, there was something about like that music. Look, guys, here's the thing. I feel that when you are going to talk about entrance music, it's got to be stuff that, like you said today, puts the fan, the viewer, in a zone, and that can connect and gravitate to the talent that's walking down that ramp or the aisle or whatever you want to call it. So I think the three of us just named, from Bray Wyatt from today to Jimmy Garvin, to Seth, to myself with Shane Douglas, I think all fits. So, all right, good. So you like that pick,
it's a little shaky, I think, but it's number 10, so I'll, whoa, you know.
Why is it
we build up, I didn't have it on my list, so of course I'm not going to like it. But what I want to say is, Taz, I think you're right. There's something about, in so many of these entrances I know that I picked, it's that initial sound that really hooks you, and the identifiable factor, that immediate recognizability factor, almost the Pavlov's dog response and reaction that you can get from people to those first couple of seconds of a song, so important.
Yes.
Anyway, number 9. Number 9 to me is one of those that just always intrigued me because it was so different from everybody else, especially in the way that it was used. And you went old school with EC Dub, and I'm going to come right back at number 9 and do the same thing with a guy who I think the entrance meant so much to him and the character. You might know where I'm going here, but it's going to be Sandman, and Enter Sandman at number 9. Remember the way that Heyman would just have that thing going on a continuous loop?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I have Sandman entrance on my list. I'm not going to say where. I'm going to be frank with you today. I'm a little disappointed in you that you would have that at 9.
Well, you know, come on. We all have our opinion on where we slot these things, but as long as it's in the top 10. But how important was that song to the character?
Oh, it was everything. And I guess when I talk about it later, I'll talk about it more. I'm not going to say it now. How about that, Mike? I'm not going to help you.
Nope, Seth, you're up.
I'm going to do Ultimate Warrior, number 9. The Ultimate Warrior. I mean, when that music hit, the place went electric. It was made the whole crowd go crazy. Ultimate Warrior, the entrance theme is definitely one of the best. Number 9, I mean, maybe it could even be higher. I thought Ultimate Warrior, awesome entrance.
I had him at 9, too, so I had Ultimate Warrior. I didn't want to say it, but I had the same thing at 9. Yeah, there was something definitely about Warrior when that music came out and the way he...
Got you pumped.
Yeah, and you know... I think all three of us can agree, and I think fans listeners will understand too, the way Warrior came out, that the fast pace, the tempo of the song was perfect for the energy level, just rose when he came out, and that song was perfect.
Yeah, really, it did really fit. And it's kind of interesting that Seth brings up the real songs versus the songs that are created by the promotion. And I think you're right, the real songs have that advantage in that the people have heard them so many times and they're, you know, immediately familiar with them. At the same time, what does it say when you have the promotion come up with a song from scratch and make it such a natural part? That really says something about the people behind the scenes.
Well, I'll talk a little bit real quick before we get into my today's number 8. I will say, when I went to WWE, my music, when I debuted, okay, I gave them an idea of how I wanted the song to sound. And they said, well, what artists do you like that you want to sound like? And I said, like, Rage Against the Machine and, like, Limp Bizkit-esque type of stuff. Early limp, and they did nothing like that, but it came out cool. So when I listened to my song and it came out, the original one with the heartbeat and all the stuff, I liked it. It kind of fit, and then it took me like probably a month hearing this thing at house shows and everything to realize what they did was they took a song, for those that are fans of me or my old original song, if you listen to a song by the Scorpions called Can't Explain, Now, it's an old song. That song, I don't know if the Scorpions redid that song.
The Who?
The Who were the first one?
The Who
you know that,
definitely
Mike?
Did the Can't Explain originally.
I didn't know that. I did not know that. I'm schooled. Thank you, Seth.
Great cover, though.
Okay, yes. So Scorpions covered The Who. Okay, I didn't know that. Well, anyway, the Scorpions version of it, there's... if you listen carefully to my song, Jim Johnson from WWF at the time, WWE, I think he was influenced by that song. Never told me that. That's the gimmick, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like sharing that.
Well, I think what it points out is how valuable are people behind the scenes, like a Jim Johnston, as you pointed out, like, well, Jimmy Hart definitely involved
in
so much,
yeah.
A guy like Dale Oliver with TNA. These are people that
Dale's
nobody
great.
Really yep. knows, yet they're so valuable to both the promotion and also to the individual, to that particular wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah, I equate it to the opposite of what I have here, and you're going to experience with Seth, because I don't have that security blanket behind the scenes, so I had to bring Seth to the forefront, to the public, to find some sort of ability.
I don't think anybody's really seen any yet.
Not yet.
But you know, you're only 8 months in.
Yeah, who's counting? It feels like 5 years, maybe 20. So, what do you
Speaking
got, Mike?
Eight, yeah, number eight. I went with Chris Jericho at number eight, that Break the Walls Down. Just I just thought it was perfect, really, for both Jericho, the character, and I think the time. See, I know you don't have it on your top ten. All right.
He's not in my top 20. Or 30.
I thought it was really important for Jericho's character and also the
but
timing
I got about
of
500
it.
Fozzy songs. I got about 500. I got about, no, I'm not. I'm joking. No, I don't have Jericho's Break the Walls Down on my list, but it was definitely recognizable for him, and definitely really cool job WWE did with that, for sure. No, it's cool. I'm just joking around.
Seth, you're up.
That's great stuff. Seth, you're up. Good.
I'm going to go number eight, Ric Flair.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah. Oh, God, here we go. the following is a paid endorsement.
I'm shocked that he's got it so deep at number eight. The way that he had his nose so far, you know, with when he went down to Atlanta, you would think his new best buddy.
Oh,
Mike,
my God.
You should be nice to the guy who's going to edit your show.
That's a good point, Mike.
Ric Flair's going to edit my show?
See, he's marking out. He's doing it now at some point.
Embarrassing.
Go ahead. Talk about the niche. Go ahead.
Space Aussie 2001.
Act like you belong. Come on, Seth.
2001.
I don't belong. I'm not going to be here.
2001. 2001
yeah,
Space
it,
Odyssey.
You know, it fit him.
It definitely fit him. Yeah, it was legendary. I don't think I have.
Oh, I do. I love the pick, Seth. I love the pick.
Well, you're another Ric Flair.
Well,
so,
line forms at the right.
Ric Flair, Mark. That's what I want to know. If you're not, Taz, you're in the minority.
I love Flair. You know that. I've had him on
the show. Yeah. I remember when you had him on the show, all you did was talk about Flair and I drinking for a half an hour. A burial that was.
We did.
and what a shock that it would come to Ric Flair's partying and drinking habits during your conversation. Well, I mean, like he said, I believe I'm an easy recruit.
He did say that.
Not much arm twisting required.
He did say that, which is funny.
You and Mean Gene.
All right, am I allowed to go at eight?
Yeah, go. Come on.
All right. So number eight for me. I don't think either of you cats have him on your list. I got CM Punk, Cult of Personality by Living Color. Okay? Great stuff. Let me tell you something real quick about this song. I think the song fit Punk for sure during the gimmick they were doing with him, where he was kind of an anti-establishment type fella in WWE at that time. And it's an old song. A lot of the kids that are CM Punk fans, the newer guys, they didn't notice. They thought this was a new song. This is an old song.
80s.
Dude, no doubt. I remember breaking into business, man, driving my 73 Malibu Burgundy beat up with holes in the seats. And the car just reeked of, like, just old, stale beer. And
what Seth's driving right now.
Yes. I paid $500 for this car. So. So anyway, I'd be driving, dude, on the what do you call it, the BQE. Now, Mike, you don't know what that is, but Seth does. I'll drive around the BQE heading to downtown Brooklyn to Johnny Rogers School. This is when he moved to school to Gleason's Gym. And I was only in the business maybe a year and a half or something like that. And I'd had the cassette of this band called Living Color. And the song called The Personality would just get me in the zone all the time. But and you know, I just think it fits CM Punk perfectly. So that's my deal at number 8, CM Punk, Cult Personality.
Yeah, it really did, and I think the thing that impressed me about that was the power and influence that CM Punk had at that point in his run with the WWE to be able to convince the WWE to spend the money for that song as opposed to writing either a knockoff or going a different route. That really is what impressed me at that point in time.
They spent a lot of money on that for a guy that apparently they didn't like. But I digress.
Yeah, right.
No, but you know, but in, well, you could take two sides of that because you know they're trying to make money, so they got the song. I used to fly home on Vince McMahon's plane after SmackDown. It was me and Michael Cole, and me and Cole would laugh all the time. Say, look, dude, they're not flying us on this plane because they like us. They're flying us to get us to work. So, because we have to go to do SmackDown voiceovers, you know.
You're gonna buy tickets too, isn't it?
Yeah, it didn't cost them anything. They just throw our asses on the plane. And that was it. So, but anyway, so that's the deal. Number 7 today. Come on, let's go. What do you got?
Number 7. I thought number 7 was so important for a couple of reasons. One, how it just really projected and got the nickname of the Game over for Triple H at number 7. And when you take into account the Motorhead influence and that unbelievable voice of Lemmy that's behind the song The Game, it was, to me at the time, I think just because of that raspy, gravel voice, different from many entrances that I had heard up to that point, but so distinctive that I put it in at number 7.
Hey, that's cool. I mean, definitely.
It's cool when you can get someone like Motorhead to do a theme for you. That's pretty amazing.
Well, I had, let's talk about me again. I had, what do you call it? When I was in WWE, Cypress Hill did a song for me, Thug Superstar, and it was cool. It was a lot of red tape there. They had to connect with WWE and Cypress Hill, Be Real, the lead singer, he did a whole rap for me. It was a ripoff of Rock Superstar. So similar to what Triple H did with, not a rap version, but with Motorhead. You know what I mean? So yeah, when the company can embrace that and they got to deal with it, it doesn't cost them as much money and it's a lot easier to do.
And let's be honest, it's win-win for both parties because you know that Cypress Hill, you know that Motorhead, they love the fact that big audience every week, the big ratings are going to be hearing that, and it's got to help them in terms of their catalog,
yes,
too.
Right. What do you got, bud?
All right, my number 7, you know, if we were doing just entrances, this might be a lot higher, might be number 1, but since it's entrance themes, my number 7 is Finn Balor.
Wow, I like that.
I mean, it's his entrance is amazing. The music's great, but the whole thing, the choreography, I think it might be one of the best entrances of all time.
That's a heavy statement saying all time. But I got to say, man, when Finn comes out, the place is insane. I can't wait to see when he's on a main roster in a big, big building. Could you imagine people putting their arms up and down when he does that and the music playing? I like that pick. Good job, Seth.
Thanks, man.
Finn Balor, yeah, I'm a fan of the guy. He's great. But you're right. It's theatrical. It's
big. It's an event.
It's huge. And also down in NXT, my boy Enzo has been on the show. Big Cass, Carmella, their entrance off the chain. And this guy over here, it's great stuff.
And I think it also points out how on top of their game that the WWE, that they are at this point in time, the fact that they, rather than just roll guys out there, with entrances or you know, run-of-the-mill music, the fact that they go the extra mile in NXT and use not only the wrestler in that opportunity to prove himself, but also to see if that entrance fits.
Yes, totally agree. Boom. My number 7, real simple. No one can argue with this. New Age Outlaws. Oh, you didn't know? It's the great, just great stuff. I mean, that stuff was just watching that stuff, just amazing. The New Age Outlaws entrance is my number 7. What are you two knuckleheads thinking at?
I don't have it on my list, but I had it just out, just a little outside.
Oh, God, never gets old. I love it, Mike. I love it, Mike.
I had to wait. Had to bust it in at some point.
I'll tell you what. Speaking of can't wait, you, Seth, you got to see this guy's face, Mike. His face needs to be shaved, so I'm going to talk a little bit about real quick about my boys at Harry's, Mike. I know, Mike, you got to be on top of the Harry's razor deal, right?
Come on. about. Everybody knows about Harry's.
Damn
come
right.
on.
Harry's, man. I'll tell you, everybody knows I'm a big fan. I tweet about it. I talk about Harry's. I mean, it's just Harry's is giving new customers an additional $5 off their first monthly subscription when you use my code TAZ. Okay, you got to use Taz, T-A-Z, Harrys.com. You don't need to overpay for the drugstore over-the-top quality razor blades. You don't need to do that. But Harry's, you're cutting out the middleman. Harry's delivers these high-quality razors, beautifully packaged, right to your doorstep. Shipping's free. The blades go from their factory in Germany, I should say, straight to your door, man. You can finally get that quality shave without having to feel cheated by the big-name drugstore brands. So Harry's Shave Plan is a monthly subscription that sends razors, as I said, directly to your door for as little as $3 a month. So start your Harry's monthly subscription and never, ever, ever, never worry about buying blades again. And special offers for new customers. Get your free razor. The handle's great. That's the razor. The blades, all that stuff. Save $5 off for your first subscription with my code TAZ at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code TAZ, and start shaving better today. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, the best thing is they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman.
It would really be a problem with the human podcast machine because then Seth would be unemployed.
That's true. Yeah, we don't want him unemployed. We hate him, but we don't want him unemployed.
I'm so glad you work with professional wrestlers, man. It's my dream come true.
It's now a nightmare.
Six, Tanae, go. What do you got?
Six is one of the classics, and it pretty much goes without saying. I think I'm going at number six with The Rock, and if you can smell that, you know what's going on with The Rock. It's just, come on. It made the character,
right? I don't
have
him on my list. I don't either.
Because probably it was too obvious, right?
I think so. I got somebody on my six after Seth's done that none of you guys have.
Go ahead.
You go ahead, Seth.
Yeah, going back to ECW, I wasn't crazy about these guys, but when their music hit, I mean, the Gangsters, when their music hit, the place went crazy, and the music played the whole match.
Well, and that's what made it.
Right.
That's what made it, and those guys were the perfect fit. Mustafa and New Jack, perfect fit for that song. I didn't have them on my list either, but I got to tell you, I remember being in those buildings, hearing that thing ring, and you knew it was on. It was definitely chaos. You know,
To me, it was very similar to Sandman in terms of how it really helped develop the character, and as you point out, that continuous loop that went through the entire, the entire match.
No doubt, Gangsta's definitely a good pick. Now, here's my pick at six. Man, this is just great. This shows why my name is on the marquee.
Uh-oh.
Big pop.
This should be good.
Mike, you're going to like this. I got Bruiser Brody. Bruiser Brody, his entrance music was a song called The Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin. And you familiar with that tune, Mike?
Oh, very, very. And I know you're a big Led Zeppelin
guy. Yes, I am. Seth, you familiar with this song? Okay, are you guys familiar with Bruiser's entrance, Brody, when he walk out? Mike, I know you are. I know you are too, Seth.
Just because you knew that madness was going to ensue.
That's right. And the speed of that, the speed of that song, and Robert Plant screaming in the song, and Bruce Brody, it was just amazing. It was ahead of their time. You know, that was just so ahead of their time. Like, you know.
Back then, some of those guys.
Yeah.
Kerry Von Erich, too, had Tom
Sawyer. Stranglehold.
Kerry came out to Stranglehold at some point.
Right,
I know
he
that.
He did. Seth, you might be right, though, also.
Modern Day Warrior.
He did. That's
the lyrics
correct.
Sawyer, yeah.
But I know, like Mike said too, he did come out to
Nugent?
Ted Nugent, Stranglehold. But Mike, that would have been before the Sawyer thing, right?
That I can't tell you off the top of my head to be sure. But I know they use both.
Again, going back to ECW, to use the real songs just, it makes it. It's a little unfair.
Yeah, we did use the real songs, and, well, somebody got in trouble for it too. So. He wasn't supposed to be using real songs.
You see what happens when wrestling gets so popular, you can't get away with that stuff.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, no doubt. All right, so that's my six. Bruiser Brody, the great Bruiser Brody with Led Zeppelin, The Immigrant Song. And I want you guys to know, so I named the artist, I named the actual name of the song. You guys aren't really doing that. You're kind of mailing it in. And I think our fans can realize that. My fans, anyway.
Well, what I was hoping was maybe we'd have Seth do a little karaoke. And at every song, Seth could come in and sing the song.
All right.
I'm throwing a little flag on that.
There you go.
That's legit.
Maybe on second thought, it's not such a good idea.
It's definitely not a good idea. But it was a good attempt at a Robert Plant.
Careful what you asked for, Mike.
Five, we're going as old school as you can get, but then I'm also going to bring it forward. The original person that had entrance music in professional wrestling, this dates to the 1940s, was none other than Gorgeous George. Came out to a little tune called Pomp and Circumstance. Fast forward from the 1940s, Randy about 40, Savage. 50 years, to Randy Savage. And again, one of those just so identifiable because it just went for so many years. And I think that, I mean, Gorgeous George, just so far ahead of his time, the first guy with...
But at five, Mike?
The robes, the valets.
Really? That was 100 years ago, bro.
What does that have to do with anything? Doesn't that put over the fact that the guy was a pioneer and ahead of his time? Usually you're the guy that's always, oh, got to respect the pioneers. You know, let took care of us, set the table. But no, now all of a sudden when I come up with that, it's 100 years old.
I don't have any heat with Gorgeous George. I mean, no doubt he definitely was a pioneer, was a legend, and no doubt, but...
Well, then put down Randy Savage next to it. I was just giving a little professor's historical lesson to go along with it.
I wanted the odds on the match. If Savage were going to wrestle
Savage
George,
versus Gorgeous George,
I'd come
well,
to you.
Well, especially, yeah.
Monster
we'll,
one favor.
I would make Savage about minus 450, yeah.
All right, Seth, what do you got, Nitz?
Iron Man, Legion of Doom.
At five.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Don't leave me alone. It's too predictable to put him higher. I got better ones to put higher. You know, Iron Man's, you know, Black Sabbath, one of the best songs, one of the best action series ever.
I got him on my list, please.
You know, number one, blah, blah, blah.
How do you know? How do you know if I have them? Why would you ask? No, I don't have them number one, but why would you? You shouldn't assume. Ask you, me, you know that assume thing?
That sounds disgusting.
All right, no, but that's what, you ever see the Bad News Bears and Breaking Train, Bad News Bears?
Benny Hill did it too.
Benny Hill did that?
Yeah.
I love Benny Hill. Mike, did you like Benny Hill?
Love Benny Hill. PBS.
How about the tomatoes he had on that show?
Oh, my God.
Holy crap.
I didn't know why I was excited, because I was 11, but I was excited.
And number five for me. My number five would be DX. Break it down. And number four for you, Mike.
Are you ready, Mike?
Are you ready?
Boom, boom. Damn right I'm ready.
That's good, man.
You know what? He just took my took all my thunder, Seth did. Yeah, I got the Black Sabbath, Iron Man, Road Warriors in at number four.
Oh, my God.
Look, guys, the definition of the Road Warrior Pop. How many times have you heard in the wrestling business the term Road Warrior Pop?
I have been fortunate, I humbly say, to actually get it a couple times. So
there you go.
So I heard the term a bunch of times to answer your question. Yeah, it's and it's definitely a huge part of the Black Sabbath tune that they used. Iron Man, no doubt about that. No doubt.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that I think wrestlers always hope, and like you said, you had it on a few occasions, you try and attain that kind of crowd reaction. And to me, when the Road Warriors were establishing themselves, it was absolutely perfect for them, and that's why I put them in at number four.
Awesome. Good pick. What do you got, Seth?
It really pains me to put this next wrestler on the list because I hate this wrestler, but I'm a big fan of the music, and it's one of the greatest songs, one of the greatest bands. So, at number four, I have Taz.
Yes!
Ooh, boy.
Yes!
Boy, it's a Brown no special.
It really is, because I've never put Taz on any list except for my overrated.
Dude, I've never been...
The thing was, you had him in all 10 slots.
You know, when you said, you know, before you said my name, and you go... I got to say, because I hate this wrestler, I'm like, wow, I wonder who this is, because Seth never is disrespectful towards any of the talent. And it was me. It was great. So it fit. Thank you. I don't think I've ever made a list on Fantasy Draft, except maybe when we do Overrated. Yes. Then I'll be number one. On both your lists. Yeah. Mike, any thoughts and opinions on that great tune by that great grappler?
Yeah, you know what? I'll let you go ahead and tell us all about it.
Well, enough about that. I'll talk about me a little bit, though. So,
have I told you about Harry's, how they cut out the middleman?
No. I think I've told the story before about maybe somewhere on a Taz tale or something about, I don't know, about the song. You know, I was not a huge Kiss fan. And it was like Shane Douglas, back to Shane, he was the one that kind of planted it in my head. He goes, dude, this song would be you. I mean, this is basically what you are. And
he
then
right.
I almost used a song Joey Styles was suggesting called like a hip-hop song, Time for Some Action, by a guy called Redman or something like that.
He's from Wu-Tang.
Was he a Wu-Tang guy?
Method Man. Red Man did albums.
Okay, there you go. All right, so anyway, so, you know, Heyman was big into the music, and then once he heard my song, he was like, once he heard that we want to use War Machine, he's like, I don't know. I feel this, man. He's like, let's give it a shot. And then it just took off. We knew right away, yeah.
Great entrance.
Thank you, buddy.
Great song, and, you know, and that music hit.
Thank you.
You know, ACW is big on this list, you know, because for a reason. The songs and the wrestlers made it.
So, well, thank you. Yeah, that's... I got to give the credit to Shane Douglas on that. Producer. What's that?
What a nice tribute from the producer who's trying to keep his job.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
Oh, that's classic. All right, my number four is Hulk Hogan, Real American. And I want to throw in a little Voodoo Child also when he was in WCW there.
Don't stop there. Go
Eye
the Tiger.
I don't want to go Eye the Tiger. I want to go Real American, and I give a tie for Hogan with Voodoo Child, you know, with Jimi Hendrix. So that's my number four.
And how interesting is it that Hogan had Eye of the Tiger, Real American, which were both really totally pop songs, and then the perfect move to go with Jimi Hendrix, maybe a little darker tone for Hulk at that point.
Yes.
And the perfect mix with Voodoo Child.
Yeah, no doubt. So where are we up to? Four? Three? Where are we?
Three, I believe.
Three. Go ahead, tonight.
All right, we've already visited three with Seth's new, very close, longtime personal best friend. But at number three for me is a song that is over 100 years old. And yes, it's Ric Flair's entrance, the 2001 Space Odyssey. Coming forward to that, as far as the movie soundtrack, used to be Elvis's open to his show. I mean, it's one of those songs that goes back to the 1890s. But as far as Ric Flair, so identifiable and perfect for him, you knew when that song hit that it was time for the main event.
Mike, it goes back to what year?
1890s,
so
believe it or not.
You would have been a junior in high school then.
I think I graduated already.
I'm teasing. Yeah, no, definitely. I feel bad. I don't have Flair a song. I have him on my honorable mention, and he's definitely just outside my top.
Yeah, right, yeah, just a little bit.
No, I'm a team player, but... All right, so Flair made his list. Would he have my song on there? No.
Not yet.
Would he have your song on there?
He might.
He might. Rabbit, he might.
Rats. Yeah, maybe not.
All right. No, I definitely think it. Look, no doubt. When that, you know, it's Flair, no doubt about it. So,
For my number three, I'm pulling a Tanae. I'm doing a little split, a little hybrid. I'm going to go DX/New Age Outlaws because, I mean, these guys, both of them, DX theme and New Age Outlaws, it was a spectacle. It was an event. Their theme was an event.
I feel you on that. I got to tell you, I think we all have to say number one.
I don't think so, buddy.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. Today, what do you got? Number two.
I'm testing you.
Come on.
I'm testing you.
You're very good.
I'm testing you. That's what I'm doing. Yes.
Come on,
guys. Use your fingers. Use your toes. Your number. Yeah. It's your turn for three.
Use your fingers. Lots of fingers in your eyes. How about that? I'll put a finger in your nose. All right.
Why is, don't be such a bully.
Here's my number three.
Mike's 176 years old. You're threatening with your fingers.
That's messed up. Number three for me, I have Sandman, Metallica Enter Sandman. I think I'm telling you, I think you didn't do him justice there where you had him. Well, you guys both had him. I think that
I didn't do him yet.
Exactly. Mike Tanae. Yeah, exactly. I'm telling you, man. I've been many a time in arenas, or bingo halls, or strip clubs where this song was cranking, and this guy came out, and, you know, it was unbelievable. I mean, an amazing entrance. He played it right with the beer, the cigarettes, holding a can in the air. Once the music stopped, everything else went to poop, but that's another story. But definitely was a great entrance.
Unless he was drunk, then it was good.
Well, he was always drunk.
Unless he was drunk.
He was always drunk.
He was better when he was drunk.
Yeah.
Never knew he drank till he showed up sober.
All right, so what are we up to, number two?
At number two, and I'm curious to see if you guys have. We haven't. I don't think we've touched ground with this yet, but number two for me is going to be The Undertaker. And the entrance for The Undertaker, of course, has just been such a staple of his character for so many years. And the bell, the way that tolls right at the start and just sets the pace and sets the tone for what that character is. And you take into account the longevity that the man has had at the top.
Yes.
It's my number two.
Well, I have him on my list, just not at two.
And,
you know, even when he had his different character change, he had Limp Bizkit.
Okay, I'll get into that later. Come on, just give me a number two. Stop trying to. You want to take
all right? Stop it.
He needs all the material. You're a mark.
We're doing a show. Are we doing a show?
Yeah, you're right.
Number two, the Fabulous Freebirds. You know, whether it was Lynyrd Skynyrd, Freebird, obviously, or Bad Street Atlanta, GA. I mean, those entrance themes were awesome. Great.
Yeah, nobody's throwing a flag on that. You know, I don't have them on my full list, but there
shame
is no
on you.
I know, shame on me, you're right, but no doubt the Freebirds for sure. Bad Street Atlanta, GA, or obviously Lynyrd Skynyrd's great Freebird song. So.
I guess Taz is taking over the karaoke duties of the show.
Nah. I had the Road Warriors and Black Sabbath went over this. I had them at number two. That's the hazard by number two. I mean, I just, you know, no doubt about it. It was amazing, just amazing entrance. Let's get cranking. Mike, what do you got at number one?
Number one, and I think it's appropriate because of what this man and what this character really meant to the professional wrestling business when things completely turned around. The amount of merchandise he sold just above and beyond when that glass breaks and Stone Cold Steve Austin came out and hit the ring. To me, it's number one, and I think always will be number one.
Mm. Good pick right there. Good pick right there in Austin for sure. What do you got?
My number one is Sandman. I mean, one of the best groups of all time, Hall of Fame rock band with one of the best songs of all time. And, you know, the entrance with the beer and the cigarettes. I mean, it was a huge entrance theme. I mean, you know.
His entrance was amazing. The way he did it, as I said, I definitely. All right, look, my number one, I had Undertaker. I mean, because, and again, to when he segued from the regular Undertaker tune to Limp Bizkit one, I've been there for all of them, watched them. I was an announcer on it. It was amazing. Amazing. The building was a buzz. You can't put it into words. It was amazing sitting there watching every single time Taker come down that aisle. That's a shoot for sure. So look, I hope you guys enjoyed this edition of best music entrances for wrestlers. Anything else you want to say, Mike? Anything else you got?
I just want to say thank you guys for letting me be a part of this. Love being a part of these fantasy drafts. And I hope that everybody climbs on board with the Professor Vegas podcast. Give you a little bit of an edge going
Thursday,
into the
right, Mike?
Field.
Thursday?
Yes, this Thursday we're going to drop the first Professor Vegas podcast. And please, hop on in. Subscribe, everybody.
Yes, definitely jump on that. Mike, you're going to do a great job. I'm looking forward to Professor Vegas. I'll learn a little bit more how to be a better fantasy sports guy and some betting stuff. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for jumping on. And that's the deal. Seth, thanks for jumping in here and doing
your
thing.
Brother.
All right, man. And we'll drop another show probably this Thursday, this week, first week of August. I'm Taz. You're not seeing.